Now, this morning we're coming to this wonderful passage, Paul's prayer. We've had Jesus' prayer, now Paul's prayer, and I've entitled the sermon, Nothing Without Prayer. So let's pray. It'd be terrible not to pray, wouldn't it? Heavenly Father, we pray you'll teach us well now. Help me to be clear. Keep our minds on the track, we pray. And help us to find ways of practically doing what you ask us. And we pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Now my first heading is there something missing? And I wonder, what do you do when you go out your front door? I have a little few words I always say, and I tap the spot and I say wallet, keys, phone. But these days I've added something. Wallet, keys, phone, and
handkerchief.
Yeah, I always do that. Always, my mother taught me well. Mask. And we've just been to Victoria to visit our grandkids, and masks everywhere. And it was like going back in time. And it was really sad to watch what has happened there, but they're coming out of it, so that's good. So is there something missing? In the parish of Sutton Forest, where I was rector, that's up Bundanoon Way, I used to teach scripture on Tuesday afternoons, and I would teach at Bundanoon and then Exeter and then Sutton Forest. And then on Thursday mornings, I'd head down south and teach at Penrose, Winchelow and Talong. And when our children were small, I often used to take one with me. And they all got used to that. I remember Joshua one day saying to me, after about the fifth period of scripture and the same story every time, he said, Daddy, that was a really good story. But he said, don't you know another one? One day I took Bethany with me, and she was age 4, and it was Bundanoon, which was just across the road from us. And there she was, pretending she was a big schoolgirl and doing a very good job of it. Unfortunately, she was doing too good a job of it because I went on to Exeter and to Sutton Forest. And when I got home, Marie said, is there something missing? Have you lost someone? And my face must have gone white. You can ask Marie later. And I said, where is she? Is she all right? And she quickly said, well, you did leave her at Bundanoon, because I was trying to work out where I'd left her along the way somewhere. The trouble is I'd actually done it to Joshua as well on another occasion. Oh, dear. And they had the next teacher had worked out that there was an extra pupil in the class, and they all knew who it was. And so in those days, things weren't as tight as they are now, so they walked her home. Isn't it easy to forget the obvious? How many mothers have left a child behind in the shops?
I left one at church.
You left one. Join the club. When it comes to prayer, it's so obvious to be for prayer, but to forget the power of prayer. And this morning, this marvellous passage from Ephesians 3, you'll need your Bible, because I want to actually stick right within the passage, and if you've got one there, it'd be really good. Do you remember the days when I used to go to fellowship as a kid, and they used to say, have you got your sword? Do you remember that? And if what you've come to church without your sword, very dangerous. Have you brought your Bible? If you have, it'd be good to have. And so Ephesians 3:14, for this reason I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. Now, whenever you see a for this reason, or a therefore, or a wherefore in the Bible, you've got to think backwards, haven't you? Think, what's come before that? And it's interesting what's come before that, because in chapter 3, verse 4, it says, in reading this, then, you'll be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Isn't that a lovely phrase, the mystery of Christ? Now, in the New Testament, the word mystery is not like our mystery, something we can't work out. Mystery is something that was mysterious in the past, but now has been revealed. It's like those of you who've ever tried to do a cryptic crossword. And when you first look at it, you think, oh my goodness, how can anyone do this? But then you start to get the clues. They're written in the front of the book, aren't they? And gradually it all is revealed. And it's not so hard after all. So mystery in the New Testament is a mystery that's been revealed. And it says here, and it's in verse 6, this mystery is, now it's got to be revealed because that's what the word mystery means. The mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Christ and members together of one body and sharers together in the promise in Christ Jesus. So the mystery is that through the ages, God was planning something that you and I now understand, that both the Jew and the non-Jew, and if you like, slave and free, and if you like, rich and poor, and if you like, male and female, all the different parts in our world are being brought together in Christ. Isn't that a lovely thought? The mystery that Jesus was bringing the two groups together as one. And once you start to work that out, you start to work out God's plan, always bringing together, then prayer makes sense. Because in verse 16 it says, I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. It's interesting, isn't it? I pray that out of his glorious riches, whose glorious riches? God. And God, out of his riches, is promising, and we are praying, that we will be strengthened with power through the Spirit in our inner being. Now let's look closely at the text. It says, this is verse 16, that's Paul, pray that out of his, that's God's, glorious riches. Now, in the Middle Ages and a bit after, the glorious riches of heaven, I think people misunderstood. And they had what they called the plenitude of grace. And that our prayers and our good works were sent up to heaven and somehow made a stockpile of goodness. Have you ever heard of that? It's not in the scriptures, because the passage here is all about the glorious riches that God has for us. This is the the bank of heaven, and the bank of heaven never runs short, and the bank of heaven actually never worries about recessions or the price of the dollar, for that matter. Not like my super. The bank of heaven never runs out. And it says, I, Paul, pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power. Now, I've run past a word I can't run past. What have I run past? He may strengthen you. And I'm always interested to see, is it plural? It is. So he's talking about you, us. Us, all of us, not as individuals, but as group. Now, the Americans know how to do this. Yeah, you all, that's right. So if you were translating the Bible, you'd have, I, Paul, pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you all with power through his Spirit in you all. It doesn't work too well, does it? So that Christ may dwell in your, again, it's plural, hearts. Through faith. And I pray that you, plural, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints, just in case you hadn't sort of worked it out, with all those who are Christians. The Old Testament saints, the New Testament ones who loved our Lord Jesus, and everyone that's come since. All of us together may grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. So we may have, when we first read the passage, have been tempted to think that Paul is talking about individual Christians sitting at home and praying, and here is a list of things we can pray. Well, yes, in a secondary way, yes, but the primary object of it is to tell us as church, as God's people, God's new community, God's wonderful family that he's calling out in the world from Jew and from Gentile, slave and from free, that when we are gathered, these are the things I want you to pray. That when you have a cup of coffee with someone and you pause for a prayer, these are the things you should pray. Marie and I have been listening to a sort of podcast that comes to us from GAFCON, and there's a wonderful American chappie that when you get past his accent, you can understand what he's saying. He's from the deep south, Texas, I think, somewhere, and he's a bishop. And he's been saying so often as a church in Lent, because it's Lent now leading up to Easter, he said, we often think that it's good to go apart and develop our own spiritual being. He said, yes, it is. But he said, it's far better to do it together. He said, take confession. He said, confession is really good to do by yourself, but it's better if you do it with someone else, because they understand, they'll talk with you, they'll pray with you, they'll extend your thoughts. And he said, how amazing when we start to work out the plurality of our gospel thoughts. Now, verse 16, back to it again. We're praying that our inner being will be strengthened by spiritual power. Now, the word power in the scripture there is dynamite, would you believe? Dunamis. There's the word. What would happen if we prayed biblically that God would throw in some spiritual dynamite into our gathering? Oh, that would be a cat among the pigeons, wouldn't it? What would that be? It'd be worth praying, wouldn't it? The power, God's power, in our spiritual lives. Yeah, power. And verse 17, that Christ, here's another thing to pray, that Christ might dwell in our hearts by faith. What would it mean if we prayed, as we're going through our, I've got a prayer diary here somewhere. Here's my church directory. And each day I pray for some of our people here. Today's the 28th of February, I believe, and I pray for Richard and Jill today because it's their day. Good one. And I thought that wasn't enough, so I prayed for the Swans as well. what would happen as I prayed, and as we'll pray later on, that I prayed that Christ might dwell it in the hearts of Richard and Jill by faith. What would I mean by that? Well, the scripture often fills that out. Sometimes it tells us that the Holy Spirit will fill us. Sometimes that Jesus will live in us. Sometimes the mind of Christ will come to us. Oh, that's helpful, isn't it? Philippians 2. And we sing that, don't we? May the mind of Christ, my Saviour, live in me from day to day. What would it mean if I, as I'm looking through these lovely faces here, very nice faces, that I pray the mind of Christ would come to each? I'm starting to pray biblically, aren't I? Which is a very good thing. And Paul the Apostle teaches us to pray biblically. And verse 17 and 18, praying for the love of God. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we may be filled to the measure of the fullness of God. Someone said that the love of God is like the cross of Christ. It goes down so deep. It goes up so high we can hardly see it. And it reaches out and out and out and out. Just like the love of Jesus. And we need to pray for that. And how? You say, no, we can't. How could we have love that was as big as that? Well, out of his glorious riches, didn't we read that? And it is the bank of heaven we're talking about. And the love never runs out in the bank of heaven. In the Church of St. Jude's Barrel, I've often mentioned it, there's a monument to a dear old lady, Mrs. Blackett. And she died just a few years ago now. When you're my age, a few years is probably 30, but anyway. And she died at the grand old age of 104. So she'd worked out life, I would have thought, by that stage. And she quoted the proverb by Virgil that says, "It is never loving that empties the heart." You've got to run it around for a while, haven't you? It is never loving that empties the heart, nor giving that empties the purse. Ooh. It is never loving that empties the heart, nor giving that empties the purse. So we're allowed to pray for more love, is that right? Yeah, we are. And then in the church, verse 20. "Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine," I'm so glad that part is there, "according to his power that is at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen." Now let's learn a lesson from the mathematics of God. You ever heard of the mathematics of God? Does your maths add up? Well, I tell you, God's mathematics always add up with a bit extra over. A bit more generous. And he may be sitting there like Richard. There he is with his arms folded, and Polly with their arms folded, and thinking, well, this is all too much, and, you know, I could never have love like that. Well, let's have a look what it says. That God is able to do this. In fact, he's able to do more than this. In fact, he's able to do more than we ask. In fact, he's able to do, it says, immeasurably more. We need only ask. "And to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever." Now that's given us some prayer fodder, hasn't it? Things to pray. Perhaps as you're praying down the regional diary. I got the regional diary yesterday. Did you get one? It came in my emails. So it should be there today. And when tomorrow comes, we get to pray for our bishop. And it says, "Give thanks that COVID-19 restrictions have significantly eased." Hoorah for that, eh? It doesn't mention singing, however. Bother. And also we get to pray for, now listen to this, the archdeacon who's the Venerable Anthony Douglas. Wow. So it's good, isn't it, to have prayer fodder, things to pray about. And we can pray for their love to grow more and more. And what else have we learnt to pray for? We can pray for, well, together we can pray for so many things. Now, two challenges to finish with. Marie's taking notes because we're going to pray for these. What would happen if we begin to treat our lives spiritually and request that we might be channels of the power of God in our lives? And what would happen as we prayed that we actually pray for each of us and begin to pray down our list of people, but the church particularly? It's true, isn't it? When we pray for people, I always pray for our children. and their husbands or wives. I pray for the grandchildren. I pray for the husbands and wives to come, those not married. I pray for the grandchildren and whoever they will marry one day, if they do. I pray for godliness in all those families. But it's easy to forget us, isn't it? And in our list of things we pray for, make sure we're praying for us. And that, as in verse 16, I pray that out of Christ's glorious riches, he may strengthen us with power through his Spirit in our inner being. In the BCA prayer diary this month, there is a lovely man who writes from North Queensland. And he writes about the empty chairs. And he says, this is what I'm praying for. He said, the chair up the front in four of our parishes in North Queensland is empty. There's no one sitting there. Do you know what he means? No pastor. No clergyman. Pray for the empty chair, he said. And then he said, when I visit the churches, there are too many empty chairs. And he said, I'm praying the impossibility that God will fill the church with his people. It'd be worth us praying for the empty chairs too, wouldn't it? And secondly, would it be possible to ask God for something that only he could do? Do you know what I mean? There are lots of things we can do, but what could only God do? He could rebuild this building. Is he interested in buildings? Perhaps, yeah. He could grow our youth group. Do you know they only had, I think, was it 25 of the smaller kids and 25 of the big kids on Friday only? That's 50. Amazing! Could you pray the impossible? They have 200. Poor Amanda. So that sort of scale, that's what I want you to pray for huge things. Only if God tells you to. Oh no, have a guess. And God will correct. But it's lovely to actually extend our mind to tap into the power of God and then see what God can do. Now, as we finish, in your life, is there something missing? Is it prayer? And can we, as this service moves on and as our series moves on with Rick back next Sunday, sort of practice and work out different things we can do to get ourselves praying? And if you are someone who takes someone out to coffee, ask them to pray and start putting prayer into the little things of life as well as the big things. Good. I have finished. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for prayer, that you are the power of prayer. And you source that through, that power to us, who feel often so weak. Now lead us, we pray. Continue to lead us, grow us, fill us with the mind of Christ our Saviour. And we pray in his name. Amen.